Hi there, everyone, and welcome once again to our midweek Bible study 2021 summer and fall edition. I'm Pastor Tim with Word of Hope Christian Church in New Braunfels, Texas. It really is great to be with you once again today. I so appreciate you taking time to join me. We're continuing in our study of the book of Romans. And as always, if you've missed any of the previous studies, you can catch up right here on this media platform or just drop over to our website at www.whccnb.org. Click on the sermon tab. And there you're going to have both video and audio versions available for you at your convenience. Last week we talked about God's amazing love for us. We were assured that there's absolutely nothing that can separate us from that perfect, unconditional love. We were also reminded that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and helps us to pray, which is something we're going to do right now before we go any farther. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing grace, for your love that is so unconditional. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for grace, the forgiveness of our sins, and we ask you to teach us today in your holy name. And everyone said, Amen. Now, I'm going to do something I don't usually do. This study will cover Romans 9, verses 1 to 24. That's a big chunk of scripture, and I want to take my time going through it with you. So today, we're going to study verses 1 through 9, and then next week, we'll continue with verses 10 to 24. What we're going to find in this study is Paul's concern for the Jewish people. He longed for them to accept what Jesus did for them, and he wanted them to accept God's plan of salvation for the Gentiles as well. You know, a sense of belonging is something we all strive for. It helps us to know that we're not alone and that there are others who share our background and values. The Jewish people in Paul's day enjoyed this sense of being God's chosen people, and they didn't exactly like the idea of sharing it with anybody else. Here are a few opening questions that will point us to how we have belonged, if you will, to others in our lives. Question number one, what did you or your siblings or friends fight about the most when growing up? Maybe what to watch on TV? Maybe who was going to do the chores? Or what to play? What game to play, in other words? Perhaps how you divided up your territory in the room or something else? Well, I didn't have any siblings growing up, so there's that. But I did grow up in a neighborhood with about six or seven boys my age. And sure, there were times when we got angry and upset with each other, but we never fought, not one single time. But what we disagreed about the most was what outside game we were going to play, such as wiffle ball or football or basketball, or play an army, or go and ride in our bikes in the woods. Those were things that we kind of disagreed about, but never fought about. Second question, what teams, groups, clubs, or organizations are you currently a member of? And do any of them require an initiation to get in? And if so, what is it? Actually, none of the groups that I'm a part of require any kind of initiation, so there isn't anything I can answer for you on that. But perhaps you are. Sometimes there's an oath or a pledge, something like that, that you might have to do, but not on any of the groups that I'm a part of. Question number three, what is something interesting about your family's background? Gosh, there is nothing that jumps out on my side of the family. Just absolutely nothing. But on my wife's side, yes. And it goes back to the Japanese occupation of the Philippines from 1942 to 1945. My mother-in-law lived through that as a young girl. And she said it was a harrowing experience. All right, let's dig deeper now. In today's scripture passage, Romans 9, verses 1 through 9, Paul reminds the Jewish people of all that God has blessed them with, including the fact that from them is traced the human ancestry of Jesus. He blessed them in ways beyond other groups of people. But they now needed to accept that God sent his son Jesus to make it possible for the Gentiles to also receive those blessings. So follow along in your Bible or Bible app as I read Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 9. With Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. They are the people of Israel, chosen to be God's adopted children. God revealed his glory to them. He made covenants with them and gave them his law. He gave them the privilege of worshiping him and receiving his wonderful promises. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their ancestors, and Christ himself was an Israelite as far as his human nature is concerned. And he is God, the one who rules over everything and is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. Well then, has God failed to fulfill his promise to Israel? No, for not all who were born into the nation of Israel are truly members of God's people. being descendants of Abraham doesn't make them truly Abraham's children. For the scriptures say, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted, though Abraham had other children too. This means that Abraham's physical descendants are not necessarily children of God. Only the children of the promise are considered to be Abraham's children. For God has promised, I will return about this time next year, for Sarah will have a son. All right, here's some study questions. Question number one, have you ever won anything in a contest or been given an award? If so, what were you given? And how did it feel to be chosen? Well, years ago in a previous ministry, I was nominated for a Pastor of the Year award by a national ministry. I didn't know that I'd been nominated, but I found out on a Sunday when my church leadership team shared it with the church. I wasn't chosen for that award, but I was given another award, and it actually meant more to me than winning Pastor of the Year. To be honest, I felt very undeserving, but I also felt completely humbled and very thankful to the Lord and to our church. Take a look at verses 2 and 3. Paul says, my heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. My question is, who would you be willing to be cursed for to assure that person's salvation? Would it be your parents or a parent? Your neighbors? Maybe your spouse? Would you be willing to be cursed for your children in order that they would come to know Christ? First, let me say that in these verses, Paul is showing the intensity of his affection for his people, how far he's willing to go for them to be saved. That said, I'd like to think I feel that same kind of intensity for my family and friends. I'd like to think that I'd be willing to be cursed, like Paul says, but in truth, I'm not there. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh yeah, absolutely, no doubt about it, I would. I've never gotten to that level of intensity as Paul, but I hope I will. It's something that I am certainly striving for. Verse 4 reads, they are the people of Israel, chosen to be God's adopted children. God revealed his glory to them. He made covenants with them and gave them his law. He gave them the privilege of worshiping him and receiving his wonderful promises. The question regarding verse 4 is, what does Paul say are the benefits of being a Jew? Paul says they were God's chosen nation. And because of that, they had witnessed his glory. They had received his covenants and his law, worshiped him, and received his promises. Definitely benefits of being a Jew, according to what Paul just wrote. Look at verse 6a. It reads, well then, has God failed to fulfill his promise to Israel? My question is, according to this verse, did God fail to fulfill his promise to the Jews? The answer starts with verse 6b, which says, no, for not all who are born into the nation of Israel are truly members of God's people. The Jewish nation as a whole didn't respond to the gospel, even though God's gifts had made them better prepared than any other nation to receive Christ. Perhaps on the surface, it might have seemed like God had failed to fulfill his promises to the Jews, but that's not the case. Human beings are the ones that failed. Earlier in this letter, Paul clarified that not everyone born of a Jewish family was truly a Jew, meaning not all Jews were part of spiritual Israel. You can go back to Romans 2, verses 28, 29, chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, and Galatians 3, 7 through 9. Israel's history demonstrated that God was fulfilling his promises apart from human failures and misunderstandings. Paul illustrated this in three Old Testament events that he mentions here in this text. First, in verses 7 through 9, the lineage passing from Abraham to Isaac rather than Ishmael. Also in verses 10 to 16, the lineage passing from Isaac to Jacob rather than Esau. And in verses 17 to 18, the hardening of Pharaoh's heart, Exodus 7 through 12. Here's another question. It focuses on verses 7 through 9, which read, being descendants of Abraham doesn't make them truly Abraham's children, for the scriptures say, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted, though Abraham had other children too. This means that Abraham's physical descendants are not necessarily children of God. Only the children of the promise are considered to be Abraham's children. For God had promised, I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Question is the natural line of descent as shown in this passage the same as the line of promise? My answer is Paul's first illustration of God's sovereign choice is Abraham and his children. Just being Abraham's physical descendants did not guarantee an inheritance. The line of natural descent was not the same as the line of promise. Abraham had children by three different women, Isaac by Sarah, Ishmael by Hagar, and six sons by Keturah. But God made it clear that Isaac was the son through whom Abraham's descendants would be counted. God did not choose Isaac because he was better than his half-brothers. The choice was made before Isaac was ever born. Instead, it was God's sovereign choice. God's sovereignty, not people's works or character, is the basis for what's called election. The Jews were proud of the fact that their lineage came from Isaac, whose mother was Sarah, Abraham's legitimate wife, rather than from Ishmael, whose mother was Hagar, Sarah's maidservant. Paul asserts that no one can claim to be chosen by God because of his or her heritage or good deeds. God freely chooses to save whomever he wills. The doctrine of election teaches that it is God's sovereign choice to save us by his goodness and mercy and not by anything we could do on our own, or in other words, not by our own merit. Well, all right, that brings us to the end of part one of this session about Paul's concern for the Jewish people. Remember, in the beginning, I said we were going to divide this up into two different studies. We're studying Romans 9, verses 1 to 24, and the overall theme is Paul's concern for the Jewish people. I hope you found these first nine verses insightful. I hope they've been interesting and provoked some thought and maybe some discussion amongst you, your friends, and or family. Next week, we're going to pick up right here where we left off with verses 10 through 24. Until then, thanks for taking time to listen today. God bless you and go in peace. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for another encouraging message from God's Word. To find out more about our ministry, look us up on the web at www.whccnb.org. Word of Hope Christian Church, real people, a real God, real hope.